Support for OPB comes from our members and from our sponsors, like Tracy Ray from the employment law firm of Baron Liebman. Tracy says that OPB sponsorship is a great way to support the community and connect with Baron Liebman's clients.
It's OPB Politics Now for Friday, March 29th. Just 1 week ago, a press release hit newsroom inboxes across the state. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek's chief of staff was leaving, and the message was that everything was just fine. That doesn't appear to be the case. Three of the governor's top aides are on the way out, and it appears that that's because Kotek's wife, Amy Kotek Wilson, is taking on a much larger role. We'll talk about what it all means and what the Koteks are saying about it and what might happen next. Welcome to the podcast. I'm OPB Portland City Government reporter Alex Zielinski.
And I'm OPB Politics reporter Dirk Vanderhart.
So, Dirk, it's been a week.
Yeah.
Can you catch us up? How did this all play out last Friday?
Yeah, well, you know, as you said, a week ago, the governor's office sent out a release announcing that Kotek's chief of staff, Andrea Cooper, was leaving the office. And, you know, that's a notable change, I think, for any governor's office, but not necessarily seismic news either. But as we started asking around about what was behind Cooper's departure, we pretty quickly learned that it wasn't just Cooper headed for the exits. Two more of the governor's top aides are also leaving. Those are Lindsay O'Brien, a deputy chief of staff who's been with Kotek for quite a long time, and Abby Tibbs, who was a special advisor in the office. And not only did we learn that, we also began hearing over and over again, really, that the reason all these women were departing had to do with, as you said, First Lady Amy Kotek Wilson, who had been staking out a larger role for herself in crafting state policy, it sounds like. That reportedly created friction that ultimately led to these departures, though I think we should be clear, we have not heard from any of the three women about why they're leaving, and Kotek's office hasn't said much, neither her nor her wife have agreed to an interview.
So people come and go in politics pretty frequently, even top aides. Why does any of this matter?
Yeah, I would say for a couple of reasons. The first is that these are three of the central people working to ensure Kotek's agenda is moving forward. We talk about it all the time on here, but Kotek is grappling with the state's housing and homelessness crisis. She's grappling with its struggles on mental health and addiction, and just a bunch of other problems that Oregonians want addressed. And these women made up 3/4 of her executive team. So they really had a very central role in executing Kotek's plans. The governor will now have to find new people to take on those roles. And that could, I think, create hurdles to accomplishing what she wants, or at least some delays as she figures out who's going to fill these spaces. The second reason, though, is that, you know, what we're being told is true, there is clearly some ongoing angst in Kotek's office about her wife's role. And you know, what we have seen in the last week is that there is no sign the First Lady's role is going to diminish anytime soon. In fact, it seems to be expanding. So that creates questions, I think, about whether ongoing tensions there might lead to additional fallout, and also questions about how far Kotek Wilson's role will ultimately extend within the governor's administration.
Right. So how has this news played out in Salem and other kind of political circles across the state? What's the reception? What's the vibe?
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I think the overwhelming vibe I got last week, you know, particularly last Friday when this thing broke, was a lot of surprise. People who know these personalities, I think, were pretty shocked that Kotek was seeing what at least looked at the time like a mass defection by some of her most trusted advisors. And as a caveat, you know, I am saying mass defection. Right now, it's not entirely clear, for instance, whether Cooper, the chief of staff, was fired or quit or something in between. But, you know, I was calling around about this and in some cases breaking the news to people that all these folks were leaving. And really, as I'm saying, some people registered just a ton of shock, could not believe it was happening. There's a clear sense that this is just not a run-of-the-mill staff turnover like are pretty common in governor's offices. And really, there's just also a lot of curiosity about exactly what's behind all this.
Mm-hmm. So Oregonians obviously elected Tina Kotek as governor, and she's been a mainstay in politics for more than a decade here. We're pretty familiar with her, but we know a lot less about her wife. So who is Amy Kotek Wilson, and what's her story?
So Kotek Wilson is, I think, a person that probably, you're right, the public doesn't know much about. She is, I think, a known quantity among folks who have been around Salem for long enough. She actually got her start in politics. In fact, she actually met Kotek when she was a labor staffer, labor lobbyist, helping out on Kotek's first political campaign. She also worked as a legislative staffer for a while, but then she sort of pivoted. She went back to school. She got her master's in social work less than a decade ago and worked in behavioral health for a number of years. And that's what I think she appears to be focused on when it comes to the governor's office. She says, you know, a big deal for her is making things better for people with mental illness, with addiction issues, both of which, by the way, she has experience with, as she revealed in a public statement this week.
So as you reported, she seems to have success selling the governor on that vision.
Right. You know, over the weekend and early this week, we learned more about how Kotek Wilson's role has expanded. First, we learned that the First Lady was granted a new assistant, and quite a well-paid assistant at that, who in part will be helping figure out whether the governor's office should create a formal office of the first spouse in the administration. I think what that might look like is very unclear, but it's not something that has happened before in Oregon. And we also learned that Kotek had taken the rare step of instructing the state police to keep a security detail with Kotek Wilson whenever she makes an appearance on behalf of the office. You know, both of those, I think, clearly point to influence above and beyond what has been normal for most first ladies or first spouses. Kotek Wilson this week actually traveled to a conference in Utah. It was a meeting of first spouses from around the country, so probably the kind of thing you and I would expect her to attend. But at that conference, she was accompanied by two state-paid staff members and a state police bodyguard, and I think that says a lot.
Yeah, and this all feels a bit familiar for Democrats in Oregon. You know, as you noted in your reporting, it's brought up the saga of former First Lady Sylvia Hayes. Can you get us back up to speed on that?
Sure. That is something that has come up a lot when you talk to people about this situation with Kotek Wilson. So to remind people, Sylvia Hayes was Governor John Kitzhaber's fiance when he served his third term in office and his very, very brief fourth term. She began raising red flags for people and among the governor's staff because of some of this very same stuff. She pressed for more influence, particularly on environmental policy. She required a security detail. She had an office within the governor's office, just like Kotek Wilson does, a physical office. But she also did something else. She took paid consulting work from entities who also stood to gain from her influence within the Kitzhaber administration. You know, Hayes insisted when this was questioned that there was no conflict of interest or any sort of influence peddling, but the public and the State Ethics Commission didn't ultimately see it that way. Her involvement in Kitzhaber's administration set off this chain of events that would lead to his resignation in early 2015 and actually landed Hayes some pretty steep fines for ethics violations.
Right. Yeah. Let's stick with the first spouse angle. Other than Sylvia Hayes, what's the track record been with first spouses in Oregon otherwise? How involved are they in state politics?
I would say, by and large, not all that involved, particularly when it comes to weighty policy measures. You know, the role of first spouse has typically been pretty ceremonial here, certainly not anything that garners a lot of public attention. People aren't keeping tabs on the first lady like they do the governor, obviously. But just a couple examples. So, First Gentleman Dan Little was the husband of former Governor Kate Brown. He was very low-key. He was a retired forester. He got involved in some outdoor programming that was launched by the state, but otherwise really stayed out of the limelight. Mary Oberst was Governor Ted Kulongoski's wife while he was in office. And she had some notable efforts. You know, she helped plan the 150th anniversary celebration for Oregon statehood, right? She helped renovate a museum in John Day. You know, Dolores Atiyah, Vic Atiyah's wife, testified on a number of bills for mandating seatbelt use and vaccines for children. I mean, all sorts of things you sort of expect from a first spouse, pretty low-key stuff, very different, I think, from the approach that Hayes and now Kotek Wilson are taking. And just, I should say, Alec, there is nothing, let's just be clear, there is nothing suggesting that Kotek Wilson is using her influence within the governor's office to profit personally, to get payments from any entities that want to sway Kotek. There is no suggestion at this point that that is the case, and we should be pretty clear about that.
Right, yeah. So we talked about for spouses in Oregon. But you also spent a good deal of time this week asking other states how they handled their first spouse issue in these offices. What did you learn?
So, I mean, I think I learned probably something that's not very surprising, which is that the role of first spouse is highly variable depending on the state and actually depending on the first spouse themselves. You know, some of these folks have careers that precede being in the governor's mansion, so they seem to focus on that and not be very interested in public stuff. Some of them take on pretty low-key roles. One of the things you see again and again in states as you look at first spouses is they'll take on some sort of effort to preserve the governor's mansion. That seems like a common one. Or you know, there'll be feel-good efforts on dealing with kids, like children's literacy type things, or they'll read to classrooms, things like that. But there are also the first spouses who take a more active role. I found a number of states that do, I think, really proclaim or tout having an office of the first spouse. The most notable example is California, where first partner Jennifer Siebel Newsom actually has 6 staff members to report to her, which is pretty striking. And there are also a handful of first ladies we found that have, you know, chiefs of staff, at least. Often they'll have an assistant that helps with their schedule. And then there's other striking examples. I mean, you know, Casey DeSantis in Florida, Ron DeSantis' wife, I think is clearly one of the more active first spouses. She is considered one of her husband's most valued and influential advisors. A pretty powerful first lady role there. I think the key takeaway, though, is that what Kotek and her wife are doing, right, or potentially doing with this expanded role, is not without precedent. But we also don't know what it will become and whether, you know, Governor Kotek will also ultimately move forward with creating a more formal office for her wife. But that's aside from, I think, the reason we're talking about this, which, let's be clear, if that's all that was happening, if Kotek was creating more space for her wife within the office and there was no other fallout or anything else, probably this doesn't rate as much mention. But the fact that it has caused these staff departures is potentially posing a threat to Kotek accomplishing her vision or her, you know, her administration's goals. That is the reason why this becomes concerning. And I think exactly what led to those departures is still something we are trying to learn more about.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's leave it there for today. Dirk, thanks for your important reporting.
Great talking to you, Alex.
This week's episode was produced by Andrew Thien, and our audio engineer is Nalene Silva. Our music comes from Audio Network. We'll be back next week with more political news from across the Pacific Northwest. Until then, you can find all of OPB's reporting at opb.org. Thanks for your support, and thanks for listening.
Politics Now and all of OPB's reporting in our communities are made possible by the support of our members. Do your part to help make it happen. Become a sustaining member now at opb.org/pod.